Welcome to Black Dog Diaries, a collection of six conversations about depression between people who have had depression. We aren't experts in the field, nor are we offering medical advice. We're simply sharing our own experiences as we manage depression and our mental health. We hope to illustrate that you never really know what's going on behind the scenes, to remind you that you're not alone in your mental health struggles, and to leave you with some great things to do to look after your mental health. Please watch out for naughty language and dark subjects. In episode 2 of 6, we talk to Simon Bauer about panic attacks and depression during comfortable phases of life, talking, doing, and accountability. But most importantly, we chat about his menstrual cycle, spelt M-A-N, not the other one, and his satanic runs. Simon is 37 years young. He is the founder of an advisory for startups and host of the Exec Brunch podcast, where he and his co-hosts discuss all things fitness, wellness, tech, business, and the bullshit in between. Please enjoy our conversation with Simon Bauer.
Being sad.
Yeah, we were talking about how my dad, I've got to give him the point that he made.
Because
when he started talking, I was like, oh, rolling my eyes. Here we go, Dad. You're not even understanding. You don't understand me, Dad. Mm. He was just saying, how do you know that it's depression now? Whereas everyone seems to be jumping on the bandwagon of, I'm depressed. Mm. But actually having a shit day probably has a similar feeling symptom-wise to depression, but it's not necessarily the same thing. So how do you know whether you're depressed or whether you're having just a shit day?
It's true. And do you know what? That's how I've always looked at depression or whatever you call it, is that life is cyclical. It's periodical, it's seasonal, you know. So I'll have bouts of when I've had my longer term depression. It's not always going to be like that, right? There's going to be better times. And it's the same with shit days. And what I've started to do when I have shit days now is lean into them.
Hmm.
Like, accept that it's a shit day and sometimes make it even shitter. Like, knowing that it's shit, I'm going to be like, I know that I shouldn't come home, sulk on the sofa and maybe have a whiskey. But fuck it, I'm going to do it. Because if I have a really shit day today, tomorrow, they're always my most productive, best days. So like rather than like I accept it and I lean into it because I know that it's life's all about ups and downs, right? So if you have a really shit day, the next day is going to be really good.
Have you tried the other way?
What, leaning into good days?
No. Like if you're having a shit day. Sometimes I always think, okay, something bad is going on. For example, with Freddie, I'm not sleeping well. I'm not doing as much exercise, So I really need to lean into the good things where I have control of the good things because there are so many other areas of my life that I'm depleted in.
Yeah.
So have you ever tried that on your shit day? Is to be like, I'm having a shit day. I'm not going to be productive today, but I can do some exercise. I can eat some good food. I can get a good night's sleep to set me up.
Yeah, 100%.
A little better.
But usually I find that all of that stuff, a lot of that stuff I've already done. Because I'm a morning person, right? So my morning routine is pretty, it's fucking good actually. I'm going to give myself props. I'll do my training, my meditation, my eating healthy. But then sometimes during some point during the day's taken a turn, right? And it's gone shit.
How do you define turning shit?
Like it's a mood thing. Sometimes there's certain things that just trigger me.
Yeah.
And then it sends you off down the spiral. It can be something sometimes as little as an email, or I'll have a conversation with someone, like a business call or something, and it triggers me. And then I go off down that spiral.
Right.
And I'm like, it's made me feel shit. And instead of being like, it's made me feel shit, I'm going to do something about it, I go, fuck it, I'm going to have a shit day now.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. Yeah. It's just you're at the point, so you're on this track of having a good day.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you receive the email and you go right or left.
Yeah.
What way's bad?
I mean, usually it's more than one event.
It kind of snaps. You snap. Yeah. You build up and then you snap.
Yeah.
And you know that you've turned off onto this other path.
Yeah.
And it seems like you know that you could turn yourself back, but you've decided just to carry on.
I mean,
but have you ever tried to do the other way? Have you ever tried to be like, okay, that triggered me. I feel like shit now. I'm going to try to do something to like put me in a better space. Like Tony Robbins would say, You know, change your physiology, like, I don't know, stand up, go for a walk, just get out of that space physiologically, and then
I have
try
and,
to get on track.
And training's always been a thing there. So I'll go and do like a satanic run or like a, something horrible.
Satanic?
I'd love to see those, Phoebe.
heavy metal satanic run. But there are, I mean, there are also days, I mean, that's an example of one, but there are also days where no matter, I go through my morning routine, but I'm still just in a bad mood.
Right.
And I call it, you know, I call it my menstrual cycle. That I have, I get it every like, I don't know, a couple of months.
Okay, where I'll this just shit day.
Yeah, well, I'll have a couple of days where I'm on my menstrual cycle where I'm just in a bad mood.
Okay.
So you wake up, you can wake up though in a bad mood?
Yeah.
Do you ever wake up in a bad mood? Because I always wake up, I've never woken up in a depressed or bad mood because I'm going to the gym.
Ah, interesting.
So my mind is just, oh, I'm going to the gym now. This is a fun thing for me. So what I'll go.
Yeah, I agree.
To the gym. But I'd just be curious to know.
I'm a chronic overthinker.
So if you,
so right. like my night, like I'll have some nights. It happens probably once a week or once every 2 weeks where I won't sleep.
Yeah.
I could have eaten.
Because you're well, thinking.
Because I'm overthinking stuff. Yeah. Whether it's work, where I am in life, the fact I'm single, you know, what's my career doing, anything or all of the above. And I'll always have one night where I just won't sleep.
Yeah.
Which is, and it just happens every week or every 2 weeks.
Maybe we shouldn't think, maybe we shouldn't talk about all the things that Simon's overthinking, otherwise he might be single for a bit longer.
Do you want to introduce who we've got?
Sorry, but one last thing about the waking up thing.
Yeah.
I don't wake up in a bad mood. But like I'll wake up, let's say something's going on in life or happened the night before that's pissed me off or whatever. I'll go to sleep, I'll wake up, I'll be a blank canvas, I'm fine. And then all of a sudden I'll think about that thing and it'll just cloud my mood with, oh, that's right, I'm supposed to be annoyed again. It's so crazy because if I hadn't have thought of that thing, I would be fine. It's just that I'd allowed that mood to come back in front of my face.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeremy, what?
No, it's like, do you want to introduce...
Well, this is Simon.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone.
Yeah.
He has an epic morning routine, if he does say so himself.
It is.
And he knows where he's going in life. He does have a menstrual cycle.
At the moment.
Menstrual cycle.
Menstrual cycle.
Yeah, thanks for saying that you'll sit down and talk to us.
No
and
worries.
For letting us use your microphones.
Yeah, we've upgraded.
No worries.
In the equipment department.
No worries.
And also the... Well, nah, I couldn't say that. everyone's awesome. But you are a legend.
When I sent you your homework to set up for this, you came back with some thoughts.
Yeah.
Did you, in the setup for this podcast, find it rather therapeutic? Like, did it make you dig down and find some things out?
Yes and no. And I only say that because... This is a hot topic I think about a lot.
Okay.
And I've been seeing a coach for almost 9 months or so now. And so I think about this stuff very, very, very regularly. Mm. And I think the older I've become as well, the more aware I've become of all of the stuff we'll talk about.
Can I ask you why?
Why?
Why this is something that you think about a lot?
It's just because I'm very aware of it, and I'm very aware that it can become an issue, and it has been an issue. And I think talking about this stuff is very productive and very good, but it comes to a point of talking, you need to fucking get on with it and do something about it.
Right.
And I think a few years ago, well, when I go through periods, so I always think about kind of depression, if you want to use the word, or feeling low or anxiety. I have long-term and short-term ones. So I have long-term periods that happen during transitional phases in my life when I'm a little bit unsure about what the next step is. And so I'll go into this longer-term kind of funk where I'm overthinking everything, I'm not sure about what's happening in life. And then I have short-term ones, which I guess you could just say is a shit day or a shit couple of days. And so the longer term ones, as I said, are during transitional phases. So the first one was after university when I left uni, didn't know what I was doing with my life, started getting anxiety and panic attacks. Moved to London, so it was something to focus on. That was like my next step in life. So everything was great for maybe 6 years, 7 years. Then I got bored of London and went through that same phase again. Didn't know what was next. Started to get the anxiety and the depression. Then I moved to Dubai, and then been here 6 years, and I've started a few years ago to get that again in Dubai because I'm not sure about what's next. So this prompted me to get a coach.
Coach, you mean?
Kind of like a life coach.
Life coach?
Yeah. And I guess the reason I wanted to do that was because I'm, as I'm sure you guys know, I'm very open with this stuff. Mm. And so I'll always talk to my friends and people I know about this sort of stuff. But I wanted to have someone I didn't know, someone, you know.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Who doesn't have the knowledge of my history or anything.
Yeah.
Who can give me some tough love.
Mm-hmm.
And I found throughout the sessions with her, so I'd see her once a week, that I kind of knew everything. It was just having that accountability every week of fucking getting on with it.
It's the same thing with health and fitness. We all know what we need to do. Exactly. It's just the accountability and actually the doing and the applying the knowledge that's the difficult part for all of us.
Exactly, yeah.
So is she or he your coach?
She.
So she or whatever pronoun they choose. what they were telling you said you already knew. You're quite in touch then, obviously.
Absolutely.
Your own emotions.
Exactly. I'm a very aware person about, you know, what's going on with me. It's just, I'm also my worst enemy. So I'll often struggle with kind of getting on with what I need to get on with. Mm. And I also think that I have my modern day ADHD, which is not a physiological thing. It's just that we live in a world where there's so much fucking stimulus constantly that I get distracted.
What would you say are your biggest distractions?
Well, I work in digital media, digital marketing. So like I have to be on social and things like that. And that's a big one.
Mm.
Probably the main one. I think that's basically it. The main one for me. Especially because I'm single, I'm on my own. So I don't have, like when I come home, it's not like I have someone else here that I can communicate with or spend my time with. So you regress to either going online or
Netflix or whatever. Or
exactly. Yeah. And that, you know, the big trigger for me for feeling down is not feeling like I'm making the most of my time on Earth.
Yeah.
And so when I spend an hour looking on social or a couple of hours watching Netflix, I see that as wasted time.
Yeah.
And yet it's just like like you regress back to it.
Yeah.
Like I even went to the stage recently, and this is a great hack for anyone listening. My sofa is the world's most comfortable sofa.
It is.
You have mentioned this.
And I'd often find I'd come home from work, come back from the office, and I'd sit on the sofa just for 10 seconds. And then before you know it, like 3 hours has passed. So I got to the stage where I removed
getting uncomfortable sofa.
Well, I removed all the cushions from my sofa and put them in my bedroom because I was like, you can't relax and chill on the sofa if you've got no sofa cushions.
Yeah.
And it actually works short term.
Yeah. I just want to go back quickly. You said you university.
Yeah.
After university, you were depressed or had depression. And then London as well. Yeah. When you were when those things happened, those bouts of depression, was it because you had reached, you had reached the full potential of what you were currently doing? Like when you finished uni, you've completed it, and then you felt depressed. When you went to London, did you reach the highest level you could at your work, and then you felt depressed?
Not necessarily. I think it was more the fact that I wasn't reaching my potential.
You weren't. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've always been very confident in like my abilities, and yet I've got this constant feeling of not utilizing them. Like you speak to my friends and family, and I've never really been proud of anything I've done in my life.
Mm.
I'll never sit back from anything and be like, you know what, well done, Si, you did really well there. I'm always like, could have done better.
Mm.
And I think a lot of this comes down, there's an interesting book I've actually got called The Drama of the Gifted Child, which is all about when you have success in your younger life. And I think a lot of this stems from that. Like, I was a very successful child up until I was about 18, did very well at school, very well at sports. And so I've always felt since then that I've not been, it's classic big fish, small pond situation, that I haven't been fulfilling my full potential.
Full potential.
Yeah. Mm. That's always been something that's kind of...
I only ask because we've discussed this before and previously. Like Olympians, or professional athletes,
yeah.
they train all their life for one specific goal, and then when they reach that goal, they become super depressed.
Yeah.
So you win the gold, and then what? Like, what, yeah. what's left?
Yeah, it's true.
So I was just curious.
Did you have a similar thing? Panic attacks?
I did.
Is that a symptom of depression?
I also had a fairly punchy drug habit when I was younger.
Right.
Which I don't think helped.
The panic attacks.
Didn't help the panic attacks. Right. But
and the anxiety, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit. But that even when that stopped, you know, as soon as I got the panic attacks, that kind of stopped. But I still kind of got them. And they're not a nice thing to go through. They're quite, like, proper panic attacks.
Oh,
they're
pretty terrible.
I think I had one before in my life. And that was,
Nowadays, like, I have recently in the last few years felt like once you've had them, you kind of feel when they're brewing.
Mm.
Yeah. And I know enough now about myself to nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
How
do you nip it in the bud?
Like, just be busy.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things with all of my anxiety, all my depression, is just being busy.
Yeah.
As I said before, I'm a chronic overthinker, and so I'm the most depressed when I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
So, like, spending time with people or doing anything, that's how I cope with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking about your times in limbo. Is that kind of, like, when you're uncertain, you were saying that you're uncertain of the next step, so you'd say it's like a form of limbo.
Yeah.
And your anxiety and panic attacks kind of come on in that time.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that like a sign? I was listening to a podcast recently, and this woman, I think it's Mel Robbins, was saying that, for example, when we're hungry, when we need food, we get hungry. When we need water, we get thirsty. When we need a change that makes us feel like fulfilled, like we're using our talents, we feel anxious. 100%. So she said that's like an alarm system of the body telling you that you need to make a change.
I completely agree.
Do you, if you hadn't have had that anxiety, what would you have done? Do you think you would have like pushed yourself to make any change?
I like to think eventually I would have.
Right.
But it just gives you a kick up the ass. If anything, I think that I should have made the changes obviously a lot before. I think everyone secretly knows when they need to make that change, but you get comfortable, right?
So Craig and I were having this conversation the other night on our walk. So we're going through a particularly stressful time of our lives, probably the first of its kind ever. And it's been going on for a very long time. And I see that it's going to go on for a little bit longer. And we were saying, like, we just don't know what decisions to make. We don't know what direction to go, da 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 da. So we're still in limbo. We're still in this limbo. And I was saying to him, it's funny because we'll look back at this in a couple of years' time, and it'll be like, oh, we were in Dubai and we had this gym and this happened and this happened and this happened, so we did this. You know, we're going to brush it off as this like two sentence phase of our lives and it's going to be done. But it's been like, it'll probably be a year. So you've just done that with your really tough, I'm sure that it was a really tough time of 100%. Your life. So can you just, like, I don't want to get into it, but just pick one of the episodes and just kind of go through the evolution of that from finishing uni, from getting to this snap point, I guess, when you're having the anxiety attacks, and then what you did to make a move.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I guess, yeah, I mean, I think getting to that point where it got to the snapping point was because you get comfortable, right? I think after university, I moved back home, I got a job, I had a good life. You know, I was.
So you were like ticking along.
Yeah, ticking along. I had lots of my friends there. I was making some money, but I was just ticking along. And I think I've never been the sort of person that likes to just tick along. I like to push boundaries, whether it be in any aspect of my life, and that's for the better or the worse. So I was just kind of ticking along, and it kind of came out of nowhere. Like, I wasn't at the stage when I got my first panic attack thinking, I'm feeling really anxious, I can feel something coming. The first one I had, I was at home, I was brushing my teeth, getting ready for bed, and then suddenly, woof, like, I thought I was going to die. So I think it was like, because it was subconscious, it must have been.
Mm.
And that scared the shit out of me. And at the point, I was, you know, I was smoking weed quite regularly, so I assumed it was, that probably didn't help. So that kind of stopped overnight. But then it kind of continued. And then I was like, well, I need to fucking change something. And that was when I'd made the decision to leave home. But yeah, the first one that came on, it wasn't like I was feeling anxious at the time. I was very comfortable. And I think that's what has happened at every point that has happened in my life, is I've been ticking along. You know, other people would look into my life and think, "Sai, you got a really good life." Mm. But internally, I'm like, I'm so complacent and comfortable right now. That's kind of what gives me anxiety.
She was saying it was growth. When humans stop growing,
yeah,
their response, their physiological response, their red flag is anxiety.
Yeah.
So I kind of get this feeling about myself as well. Actually, you've said a few things that I'm like, oh, I think that's me too. So thank you for that, Sai. It's always times, and it's very much under the surface, that I just feel like I'm not living in line with my value or like what I'm supposed to be doing.
100%. Yeah.
And it's kind of like at this disagreement.
Yeah. How did you make the decision to move away from home? Like, because a lot of people, when they feel like this, they're essentially afraid to make a change, for example. Like, so how did you yourself to...
I think that was it. I think I've always been like, I've always been an advocate of, you need a healthy amount of fear in your life.
Yeah. And so embracing fear.
Yeah. As like the idea of being on that precipice of like, you're almost feeling really stressed and anxious, like to the stage where it's too much.
Mm.
But not quite there. You're kind of like leaning over the edge. I think that for me is the healthy place that I need to be in life. If I'm too comfortable and I haven't got any fear or any stress in my life, I'm miserable.
Mm.
If I'm obviously super stressed, super anxious, super depressed, I'm depressed. But there's a place in the middle of that, which I think is like, for me, the healthy place to be. Because it's like you're growing, you're evolving, which I think is what, you know, what life's all about.
So what are your lessons that you've learned? Like, how do you keep yourself in that area? Like, I guess there's a little bit of distance on either side of that you probably fall.
Yeah.
I think, so how do you keep yourself there?
I think my lessons are accountability. Like, there's a variety of ways in which you can, like, doing something that scares you every day or every week, even if it's something small, I think is so, so healthy for me personally. Having that accountability, whether it's, you know, you do it with a friend, you see a coach, I don't know which one, is I think super important. The big one for me is, I'm lucky enough to be very aware of what's wrong and the issues in my life. It's just having that discipline, I think is super important. And two other things I think that should have been really important for me is having a gratitude-led approach to life.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than looking at people and saying, you know, I wish I had what that guy had, or I wish I'm doing this, every morning focusing on what you're grateful for and having that approach to gratitude has actually really helped. It takes a while to get into, because you know, saying something that you're grateful for is very different from feeling something that you're grateful
for. Right. Is that what it turns into?
Yeah. So like, if you, it's like any habit, you do it over, it feels weird at first and you're like, oh, I'm thankful for whatever, the fact I've got a fridge full of food or whatever. But then when you start to kind of feel it, feel grateful, it really helps. And I think the big one that I've learned, and I think is very appropriate for everyone in the modern day world, is to not compare your backstage to everyone else's final show. You know, we live in a world where, you know, with social media, where everyone has such a manicured, polished version of themselves, which they publish to the world.
I like that expression you just used. I like that.
Yeah, and so, and you know, you live in, you're scrolling through this social media feed when you're sat in your pants on the sofa at home, thinking you're a loser. The reality is everyone's going through that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and just remembering that, because, you know, when you compare your backstage to everyone else's final show, it's a very dangerous area to be in for mental health. So, I mean, I go through phases where I delete Instagram and Facebook. Unfortunately, because of all the work I do, I kind of need to have them.
Is there a way you could find a middle ground?
I'm wondering
because, like, you can't really delete it. Exactly. Like, it's not realistic.
Well, I'm trying to migrate slightly what I do work-wise and move away from the practicalities of digital and move to a more strategic role where I don't need to be on them.
I mean, the sad truth is the way the world's going now is it's just getting more and more and more as well. Yeah. So it's harder to get out of it, you know?
Yeah, and also I think that there's a... And this can be said of everything in life that I do to help my mental state, mental health, like removing the cushions from the sofa,
yeah,
or whatever. Short term, getting rid of that thing might sort the problem out for a bit, but the reality is you need to live with it. So like for social media, if I'm in a particularly bad place, I might delete it for a week or so. But the reality is that, like you said, we live in a world where it's impossible to escape that sort of stuff. So you just need to have the discipline to learn how to have it in your life. So for me, like with social media, the problem is when I get to that scrolling stage.
Yeah. Right.
If I'm using it productively, like I publish quite a lot of stuff on LinkedIn and I'm quite proactive and I publish stuff on there about mental health. And so that's quite a positive platform for me.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Instagram, you'd find yourself just scrolling through.
Yeah. As soon as you hit the reels.
Then when you're passively using it, I think that's when it gets dangerous.
Yeah.
And you know, for businesses, for example, for Base 3, it's a very positive thing. It's just when you use it passively, I think it becomes quite dangerous.
It's hard for you, because even me, because obviously you're in that industry.
Yeah.
And I make the
exactly
the content for people. And the amount of stuff that I make that is that type of nonsense and crap.
Yeah.
Like,
but I think that culturally, and this is getting a bit broad, but culturally we're at, I think, a tipping point where I think that whole polished, unrealistic style content is people are becoming very alert to it, and it's partly because of the rise of mental health awareness. And I see it with a lot of brands and a lot of influencers and a lot of people online, that there is this more realistic, honest approach nowadays that people post about, which I think is well, moving in the right direction.
I mean, you want it to be like, because I mean the stuff that I make, what you've just said, the stuff that I make has taken me and a team of other people hours and hours and hours of planning and shooting and lighting to make it look perfect.
Yeah.
But in reality, it took like, I mean, you 3-4 days to get that one that one image that they really like.
I mean, you took a photo I used for my profile pic, so you even made me look good. So
you can
work magic.
There was no Photoshop in that one. It's just all beauty, natural beauty. but no, yeah, actually, when I see... I shot a lot of models before, so when I see models that aren't on camera and they're just hanging out behind the scenes,
can you just take some photos of them and like?
They're very. I should do a series of like behind the scenes.
Oh, everyone would love it.
Because they're honestly just like, I don't want to say they're depressed because I don't know, but they could be. But they're like, it's you could just tell that it's not what it is. Like, 100%. It's not what it makes it to be.
100%. You know?
So sorry, that was a tangent that came off of your favorite things to keep yourself in check.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like self-awareness is a really big thing for you. For example, like the Instagram thing, it might not be my issue, but it's being aware of what your triggers are and the things that kind of spiral you down, and then figuring out a way that you have to manage that.
See, that's
unless you can kick it out of your life.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting point. And having seen this coach and over the last few years, and I think it's also due to age and the more mature I've got, I've become a lot more self-aware. And as part of that, I've become a lot more aware of what my triggers are.
Mm.
And so it's interesting, like there'll be certain people in my life that are big triggers. And, you know, from the outside, you might look upon it as, oh, you look like you guys have got a good relationship, you know, but they just trigger me. And I'll actually, you know, after having a meeting with them or seeing them, I'll go away and I'll write in my book, or I'll sit down for 15 minutes and I'll be like, why the fuck is that person triggering me? And actually taking that time to realize what triggers you and then figure out why it triggers you is such a healthy exercise for me to go through. Because it means you can then control the narrative a bit better next time you see them. I mean, some people, on the self-awareness point as well, I think you guys are both very aware that I've got without sounding like Yoda, I've got a light side and a dark side to me. My light side's always been health, fitness, and living a really healthy life. But I've also got a dark side, which is my partying, my social life. I spent many years trying to focus on like one or the other and go through periods of focusing on one or the other. But I've, you know, recently realized that that's me. And so I've kind of embraced both of them. But there are people in my life, or historically have been in my life, that have been bad influences on me. I think we've all got them. And occasionally these are best friends or really close people. I've become aware of that quite, you know, over the last several years. And therefore I've either cut them out of my life if they're like a friend, not a best friend, or I control the narrative when I see them. So for example, if I have a friend where, I think we all have them in Dubai, the only time you see them, you end up just getting drunk or and getting fucked up and partying or whatever. Now I'll, you know, see them and I'll go for a walk or I'll do something healthy. So controlling how I see them so they're not so much of a trigger.
Mm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think what it comes down to is we didn't talk a lot about managing in the moment, but I think a really awesome and important theme is doing a lot of self work.
100%.
Not to fix the problem, but to perhaps be aware enough and learn your way. Understand it a bit more and then maybe be able to mitigate any, you know, future panic attacks or falling into a depression. You can kind of see yourself going that way and then kind of pull yourself back.
Very much, very much so. And I think, you know, that's great and that's something, that's like the approach I have. But for me, the most important thing is to fucking do something about it and change. Because the reality is, if you're in that bad space, and this is what I find, if I'm in that bad space, something needs to change. So any change is good. So like, you can spend all your life kind of evaluating stuff and you'll never get to the answer, but just changing something or doing something about it helps, because then you feel like you're at least moving forward.
But you're helping yourself.
For people who are afraid to make a change, can you do like stepping stones?
100%. Do you know what I mean?
Like,
and that's actually
because what you've said is quite big. That's changes. So how would
like moving out of home.
I'm afraid of shit. I'm afraid of change.
Exactly. I mean,
what's a small step?
Yeah, that's a great point. So, you know, with my long-term funks, you know, that's usually to do with stages in life, which are obviously very big and very daunting.
Mm.
But, you know, breaking it down into the smallest possible step. So, for example, you know, I was thinking about moving to Lisbon next year, Portugal, or back to Europe. Just something like spending half an hour looking at the visa options in Portugal online. Something like that, that it's nothing. It's such a small step, is a step in the right direction. Then maybe sending an email to a company that sorts them out, getting some more information. Putting a post on social saying, hey, anyone moved to Lisbon recently? I'm looking. Stuff like that is just very, very small steps.
Well, I think that's the key, is take a step. Exactly. In the right direction. It's not going to get you there straight away, but as long as you're on that path going in that direction, then that's positive momentum.
Exactly. And then just don't be hard on yourself, which is a lesson that I'm still struggling to learn. You know, be nice to yourself. Be tough love, but nice to yourself.
Yeah.
You know, don't
let yourself get away with
it.
Very
hard on yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Very critical of your...
Absolutely.
Well, hey.
That was really awesome, Si.
You guys are very welcome.
Thank you for that. Yeah, thank you for that.
Good. All right. Well, have a great day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you very much.
Bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Black Dog Diaries. And thank you, Simon, for sharing your experience. It made me reflect on the importance of action, whether doing something to move yourself forward or sometimes deciding to just lean into a shit day when it's needed. Ironically, doing Black Dog Diaries has been the action and positive momentum that I needed to help me get unstuck, which was never my intention. I've only noticed in retrospect that it started with one small step back in August and is the accumulation of many small steps after that. By pushing over one domino, I can see it's helped me topple over others, which is a really big step for me because I'm usually the one overthinking and spinning my wheels. Accountability, as Simon will say, played a huge part in that, and I have both him and Jeremy to thank for that. If you are stuck in a rut or a depression and you're spinning your wheels, just do one small thing. Push over one domino. Go for a satanic run, grab your mate for a walk, call your life coach, or ask a good friend to help you with a project. Remember, any momentum when you're stuck is really good momentum. I hope this all helps. As you go off into your days, please remember to do something good for your mental health and to keep an eye on the mental health of your friends and family. Peace.